Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone, again. Another, we all seem to have beautiful Sabbath days. Just wonderful. The snow and the rain and all that seem to clear up most of the time. All right, we're in this series of what really are these covenants. And we're just doing a background series that if anyone does have any questions about it, most of us in the congregation here already understand this, but it's good to go over it. We have gone through Exodus, gone through Moses and the Ten Commandments and Mount Sinai, and we labored through the last sermon just to go over it and over it and over it, what happened with these Israelites and all the times they promised God that they were going to do it over and over and over. And of course, we saw that they didn't do it, and they didn't do it, and they didn't do it. We also saw that the reason that God was dealing with Israel was to later establish Jerusalem so that he could keep those promises about Christ and that sacrifice. And so he would help these nations occasionally through the judges and kings, and he'd get them back on track a little bit, and then they'd go off track. But he basically kept them there and kept them together as a nation so that Jerusalem would be doing what they were supposed to be doing when Christ came on the scene. Because we all know that after Christ was there and accomplished that, then it all went to pot and the temple was torn down and the city burned and everything else. So, and we read those scriptures about that he was going to do this and work through them to establish Jerusalem and keep those promises. Last time I looked in a reference book, and I don't like to mark reference books because other people use those, and I hate marking in those. And I didn't mark it, and I couldn't find what I wanted to tell you. But I looked it up again, and you know when Moses with the Israelites were going through the desert there for the 40 years? Remember that the incident where they wanted water. They were complaining, belly aching about something. So they wanted the water, and God said, speak to the rock, to Moses, and you'll have water. Well, I've always been under the impression, because it's never really been made clear to me, I guess, in the past, and to most of the people that I've talked to, they've had the same impression, that happened, you know, early on when they were in those 40 years. But when you really look through the history, that episode happened when he struck that rock. That happened in the 40th year. This is in the 40th year. This is way at the end. And then God says, well, because you did that, you're not going over the river. And God is very precise in what he does. And it was never in Moses' job description to ever go over that river. And so God had those things work out. But it was interesting that happened way at the end. After seeing all this, talking with God, being up there, having him work all these miracles through all these 40 years, and then God said something very simple, speak to the rock. And Moses went over there and banged on it. And God says, oh, well, you did not obey me. And then we look in our own lives and we go, well, I've done a lot more than not just speak at a rock, you know, in my life. You know, how hard is he going to be on me? Well, we have that blood of Christ, and luckily that's all been forgiven. So we went through all of that and labored through the last sermon doing that. I don't like those historical ones, but we have to do it sometimes. But it's giving us a good background of what the Israelites really have done. And today we want to start and go over these covenants with Abraham. Let's go back. Remember, we read all these scriptures about to the Israelites that these were the lands that were promised to your fathers. Well, this is the father and these fathers that this was promised to, that they received later. So let's go back to start with Genesis 12. He makes a number of different statements and different little covenants. We're not covering all of them, just the main one with Abraham, really. But this is good to go through the subject so that we have, of course, we're taping all of this, so we have it down, and if anyone has any questions, then they can go back and listen to it. So here in chapter 12 of Genesis, starting in verse 1, it's interesting to see the different, very specific things that God does bring out. And he says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get you out of this country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto the land that I will show you. He says, and, you know, after he does this, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and make a great, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, remember that Abraham, before this time, here he's around 75 years old. If you go back in the history books, when he was young, he was a king way up near Austria. And he was running around up there in Europe, taking lands and ruling, and he was quite a prominent figure in history. But at this time, he's back down here, where he's actually with his father, I guess. He's by his father's house and all that. And so a lot has happened within Abraham's life. And we should try to get those history books together, because the last time I saw those were at college when we went through it, and it was quite interesting to see some of the backgrounds of some of the men that God has used in the Bible. And then you understand why they were the way they were and why they did different things. So in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you, get this, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So it's not just with Abraham. This is a much larger covenant that he is going to be making with Abraham. It's just not to his little kindred. This is to all families of the earth will be blessed. And it says, so he departed, and he went out, and he was 75 years old. So we know that the main thing happened when he was around 99 or 100 years old. So God told him this. We always want things to happen so quick. And here's 25 years later when we're going to be reading about him when he was in his 99th year. God doesn't always do it at our time. So let's go over here to Genesis 13, verses 14 through 16. He's talking to him again. And the Lord said to him, after that Lot was separated from him, this is when they both had gone out. We won't go through those stories. He says, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northwards and southwards and eastwards and westwards, for all the land which you see, to you will, he hasn't yet, will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall he be able to number your seed. So at some point in time, there's going to come a time when no man can number. Now, we know exactly how many, pretty well exactly how many people are on the earth today, so it's certainly not this time, is it? But there's going to come a time in the future that is going to be big time. So going along, we're going to move along with this. In Genesis 15, verses 13 through 15, Now he's telling him something else. This is still before he actually makes this covenant, but he's telling him different parts of this. So he fell in this deep sleep, and then God tells him that know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not yours and not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Well, first God's telling, think of what Abraham is thinking during this time. First he comes along and says, I'm going to do this wonderful stuff for you and give you all this stuff. And then he, all of a sudden he comes back and he throws this in. He says, well, now, yeah, we're going to have this covenant, but, you know, there's going to be 400 years. You're basically going to be slaves. Well, not a happy part of that covenant, okay? But it's going to have to happen before all of it takes place. And also, that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to your fathers in peace. And he tells them, that's okay, this is all going to happen, but you're going to go to your father, you're going to die. Thou shalt be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. And they're going to come out. Okay. So he's telling them these different things are going to happen. And verse 18 says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. Then he goes through these different cities and territories. And we know that's where later the Israelites went on through, and they did capture all that land. He made that promise. You know, when God says something, this is the inspired word of God. I heard something this last week where people are now believing that from some book that's going around somewhere in some of these other so-called churches of God, that now people are believing that the New Testament isn't part of the Bible. And somehow Christ was really Satan. Now, you see, that's where their minds are going to have no leadership. The Spirit, well, they've got men running around pretending to be leaders, but the Spirit of God is not in these congregations. There may be first fruits there, I'm sure there are. But unless that Spirit is directing, not the man, not the individual, it's got to be the Spirit. That's what draws us, that's what directs us. That's why all of us are here today in this congregation. And that's what they don't have. They have a bunch of hirelings who are trying to do things. And it's not going to work out so well. And we're starting to see the bad fruits of that. And when God says it, this is the inspired word. You really, you know, you can read any book you want. You can read any article you want. I have always tried to just read the Bible. I look at other things, but if it's for substance, it's in the Bible. If the Spirit of God wants you to understand what His inspired word is in the entire Bible, He'll reveal it. You'll know it. You'll understand it. And you won't get confused. That's why I'm not confused about the 14th and the 15th on Passover. If you stay in the Bible, get away from man, satanic man, and his traditions, you can only come out with the 14th. So I'd rather believe God, and if He wants me to see something else, then He'll inspire that in the outside things. Okay, so this is building up to this. Now this is all during this 25-year period. So, you know, we think maybe a year goes by or 2 years goes by. Oh, what's taking so long? Or we want this and we want... Abraham was promised this great thing for him and his family. 25 years later, we're going to go over to chapter 17. 25 years later, now, going to have a sit-down talk. It's going to be, this is what I'm going to do for you. So let's start in Genesis 17, verse 1. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, God came to him. So all this time, you know, what's going on? God doesn't seem to have our time schedule. Then probably we can say thank God for that, because he's doing it the right way. He says, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Now, this perfect means upright or sincere. Now, how can you possibly do that unless that Holy Spirit, and we know in the Old Testament, it was around his different prophets and his servants. How could you possibly walk perfectly in front of God or sincere in front of God unless you had that fruit of that Spirit? In other words, the Spirit producing that. Well, the Spirit was around him. He was one of God's men that he was using. It wasn't in him, but it was around him. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Abram, I keep saying Abraham, I'll keep saying it, he changes his name. So Abraham fell on his face and talked, and God talked with him. And he's saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. And he says, neither shall your name, you know, no more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made unto you. You don't see Abraham having to do anything here. Here again, it's not God coming to you and saying, well, if you do this and do this and do this, then I'll do this. No, God's coming and saying, this is a covenant I'm making with you. My word is sure. I will do this. Verse 6, he says, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. Now, we know King David came out of him, that line, and we know Christ came out of that line, and we know that we are as Christ and that seed, and we are going to be kings and priests. So when God says something, he means it, not only physically, but spiritually. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you, in their generations for an everlasting covenant. This is never to go away. To be a God unto you, and to your seed after you. And we know in the great last day, he says he's going to be their God, and they are going to be his people. So he's going to carry it right out onto the end, and that's when the real blessing is really going to be coming anyway. And I will give unto you and unto your seed after you the land where he said that, you know, you're a stranger now, but the land of Canaan and all that for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, therefore, and thy seed after you. He says, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. This is all that God asked. This is all he asked. To keep this covenant in effect. God was coming and saying to Abraham, this is what I'm going to do with you and your seed forever. Now, because we have this covenant, I want all the male children and all the men to be circumcised. Why? He says, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token or a sign of that covenant between me and you. That's all he asked. And that's why we see, even in the land of Israel, in the Jewish religion, and all the way through, on that eighth day, as he says, it has been a tradition. And we see that most other nations do not do that at all. You don't find this going on generally in the Arab nations in that. And even to this day, it is carried on, hasn't it? At least through traditions. This is one tradition, I guess. It wasn't a big spiritual thing, it was a physical thing, and they haven't messed that up. Of course, the religion, the Jews are way off base. So he spells it out here, and he that is 8 days old, is going to do this right after birth, shall be circumcised among you, every man child and all the generations. He that is born in your house or bought with money, has got to be circumcised if you're going to be in this country. So he goes on to that, and he talks about this being an everlasting covenant. And it's interesting that he says that on the eighth day. Now we know that the day, the great last day, the feast, is on the eighth day. And what is this picture? This whole covenant pictures and the circumcision pictures the great last day, a sign between God and the people, all the people, forever at that time. So he talks about this being everlasting covenant again. And I wanted to bring up this very quickly, you know. The interesting thing to keep in mind is, turn over to Genesis 26. Just so we know that although God is saying to keep this commandment, not covenant, to keep this covenant by the circumcision, we also have to understand, as we have always taught, that the law of God, his law, his statutes, all these things have been known all the way back from Adam, and they've been passed along. And Abraham basically was keeping all of this law. And this is, you know, way before Exodus and way before, you know, Moses. But they had this. So let's start in Genesis 26, verses 4 and 5. He's saying this again, and he says, I will make you, your seed, to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations, say again, in that seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because of this covenant. And we know in the great last day all of those nations will be blessed because of this. But in verse 5 it says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You know, I'm sorry an editor didn't put this in there. This happens to be the inspired words of God. You know, you want to argue with this, go argue with God. Don't argue with any of us. That's what it says. He kept them. He kept those laws, the statutes, all of it. Everything that had been taught to them, which was basically all of it. So coming back here to Genesis 17, you know, we always hear, and we have this stuck in our mind, that when God said that in his 99th year that Sarah was going to have this child, you know, she went behind the tent or whatever, she was listening, she was laughing, oh boy, she didn't have any faith. And we let it go at that. Well, let's see if Abraham had so much faith. So he tells him in 15 here that he's changing her name to Sarah. And he says, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have this child come from her, and he's going to be a mother of these nations and kings and all of this. And Abraham hears this in verse 17. Then Abraham, now this is after he's been talking with God, this 25 years later, all these things are happening in his life. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, oh, shall a child be born of somebody, you know, like myself, 100 years old, and my wife in her 90th year? Well, it doesn't sound like faithful Abraham here, does it? Well, Abraham of and by himself was never faithful. Faith is a fruit of God's Spirit. So the Spirit has to be there first. And the faith and faithfulness has to come from that Spirit. So it is coming from God. I heard one sermon where the man was absolutely right. He says, you know, if Abraham did all these wonderful things and he was really this faithful and he did it on his own, we should build a big monument, a big statue to him. And we really should. But he didn't. He only did what God required of him to do and did through his Spirit. So he laughed, and he didn't have all that much faith either, did he? Well, he tells us in verse 19, and God said, Sarah, your wife is going to bear this son, and you're going to name him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. So as this goes along, this is what's going to happen. And we're not going to go into all of this with Ishmael and everything else, you know those stories. We're just trying to go through and establish what he gave and what he did with Abraham. Because this is going to carry right into the New Testament. It's going to carry all the way through eternity. In chapter 21 of Genesis, verses 12 and 13. He says, and God said to Abraham, he says, let it not be grievous in your sight because of the lad. He's talking about all this. Let's see, and all that Sarah has said and taken, for Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondswoman I will make a nation, because he is your seed. Now this is a little controversy between Ishmael and Isaac. And he says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of that. Ishmael was born of that bondswoman. We'll read about that later. And because he's your seed, I'll make a great nation out of him too. Don't worry about that. But it is through Isaac where the seed be called. And this is where that line is going to go. And you might want to just jot down your notes in Romans 9, 8 and 9. You can read this later. He talks about the children of promise are counted as that seed. And this is the seed that he's talking about that's coming from Isaac. And in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, talks about this, about Isaac and Christ and being the seed. And this, of course, is where we're going with this covenant. What it really meant. Okay, in Genesis 22 and verse 18, he says this again. He says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. This is a big covenant. Well, all the nations through all of Isaac, Jacob's, and everyone else to come all the way till 1996, all the nations of the earth have not been blessed, have they? obviously God's talking about a different time when this was going to happen, when the true fulfillment of this was really going to happen, when the real spiritual fulfillment was going to happen. And that is where we're leading to, that new covenant, extension of this. And it takes us always to that great last day. God's mind, when you read this Bible, when you have the true plan of salvation in mind, you see that God is always working and always referring to that great last day. That's what it's all about. We're still in the example period of life, and we're still in the pages of this Bible here. It still hasn't all been fulfilled, as we know from Revelation and other places. And we're still a living part of that. But everything is geared to come to the great last day. That's the fulfillment of the Father's mind. And everything that He has done from Genesis to Revelation is going toward that time. That's why He named it the great last day. There isn't anything better, isn't anything greater than that time. His mind was on this from the beginning, from the before the foundations of the world. God is very constant. Nothing gets in His way. Nothing gets in the way of His plan. So a couple more scriptures here in Genesis, and then we'll move to the New Testament. Genesis 27, just to carry this on a little bit, we have Abraham, then we have his son Isaac, and what God was working through that. So in chapter 27, verses 28 and 29, we see that it's going to go a little further here. It says, therefore God will give you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you, and nations will bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you, and cursed be everyone that curses you, and bless everyone that blesses you. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of this blessing, this was this blessing to Jacob. Now Isaac is old, and this same blessing and covenant is being passed right along, as God said, now to Jacob. Okay. So we go on to Genesis 35. Of course, we're leaving a lot of history out of this, or we'd be here for weeks. That's another study. But in Genesis 35, from 10 to 11, or 12, 10 to 12, the verses, and God said unto him, your name is Jacob, and your name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be your name, and he shall call his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of you, and kings shall come out of your loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to you I will give it, and to your seed after you will I give the land. So it's being passed in this covenant, this physical part of the covenant, is being passed on from one to another. And God is right there with us passing on. And we see Him intervening all the way through with Israel. So it will, it's not because these people were perfect or they did something right. It was to establish God, to establish His line, and to establish Jerusalem, and to establish this witness forever that when God says it, it's going to be done. This is a history book of over 6,000 years. By the time of the great last day, it'll be, you know, over 7,000 years. it's somebody you can trust when he says it, and it comes out that way. So God gave the land to Israel that he promised to the fathers. And we read that in Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 through 4. It states that. And we went through all of that as the Israelites went on to gain all these different lands. And God was good to his promise. And we have to understand that that faith only comes by God's Spirit working with a person, because otherwise you cannot have it. And God made that covenant to Abraham as a gift. It was a gift. He really didn't ask that much in return, did he? And he asked that circumcision for that token or a sign, which the nation of Israel, for the most part, did. And we read about Abraham that he did keep all of the commandments and the laws. And this is way before Mount Sinai. When they got to Mount Sinai, it was a written statement to make sure that nothing was going to go wrong. No one misunderstood. So we've gone through a little bit, seeing an overview of what that covenant with Abraham was. And I wanted to do it this way so we didn't get bogged down with a lot of history in between, because we're going to jump right to the New Testament. For those keeping notes, that was the covenant of Abraham, and that was point number 3. I know this goes back a couple of sermons, so we gave those 7 points at the beginning. You'd have to review your notes back then. Point 4 was Christ's life and sacrifice. Did he fulfill or do away with this law? We're hearing a lot about that lately. You have to understand the time now that we're going to in the New Testament. And this is well into the apostles after Christ. They have God's Spirit. They've been going for numerous years preaching this word. They're Spirit-filled, led by the Spirit. They know what's going on. And what they're fighting right now is this Jewish nation that is saying that you must keep the law of God, and that is the way that you qualify for any sort of salvation. And if you're a Gentile and don't keep all these little laws that the Jews had, and also God's laws, you could not have salvation. This is what the church, this is what the apostles was fighting. They were fighting this at this time. Because the apostles were saying, no, we have Christ, and we are saved by grace. You know, when you sit back and think about this, it's kind of like some of the controversies that is going on right now with some of the churches that we know. One is saying, as we went through before, just throw it all out and let's take the blood of Christ and walk in. And once saved, always saved, basically. That's what they say, but they really don't believe that. And the other ones are saying, oh no, it's a free gift. But brother, if you don't have all these works, you're not going to get there. I'm like an oxymoron. It's not workable. It's not a workable situation. But the apostles knew the truth. And this is what we're going to start to go into. And we're going to see right now with Christ's words and the apostles' words that law was there forever. That law and obedience to the law could never get you salvation. Never. It was not a qualifier. It was a way of life. And it was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that gave you life. and gave all life and gave everyone under those covenants life, that all nations would be blessed. It was that sacrifice, it was that judgment that happened at that time. So let's read some of this. And I have enough scriptures where I don't think that we're going to get into really the essence of that new covenant, but we're going to establish ourselves right here by the Bible that you cannot say that that law is thrown away.